As I was praying with the scriptures, two phrases from our first reading stood out to me. The first one is, "It is of course required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." And the second phrase, referring to Jesus, "He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness." I think that these two phrases stood out to me because of the recent news that we have heard about the Pennsylvania grand jury report and the credible accusations made against Archbishop McCarrick. Additionally, there are accusations made against Pope Francis and other bishops regarding covering up abuse. I think it's better to address the sexual abuse scandal directly, since it is something that can't really be ignored. Some clergy who are entrusted with the care of people who are thought to be trustworthy instead abused them and their authority. Such crimes have come to light, and those guilty of them and those who covered up for the abuse and allowed it to continue must be held accountable. All the dioceses in Missouri have invited the Missouri Attorney General to investigate them. This act of transparency is believed by the Missouri bishops to be a step towards healing. As the authorities are conducting their investigation, we must reflect on how these things affect us. Although only a small number of people were actually abused compared to the whole size of the church, it's the whole church and all of her members who suffer. So how should we respond? Well, let us consider how the disciples responded to the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. They could have focused excessively on the scandal, but if they did, then the church would have been finished before it really even got started. But the church survived the scandal of Judas's betrayal because the members of the church knew that we should not judge the Christian way of life by those who fail to follow it. Rather, we should look at those who do. So they looked at the 11 apostles who lived out that life of faith. We too should consider the saints and their response. St. Francis de Sales lived in a terrible time of scandal during the early part of the Protestant revolt. He bravely preached the truth in Protestant Switzerland, where he was often beaten and left for dead. When asked about the scandals of his time, he gave a profound answer that applies to us today. He said, "Those who commit these types of scandals are guilty of the spiritual equivalent of murder." He said that because such actions destroy the faith of others by their terrible example. However, he went on to say, "But I'm here among you to prevent something far worse for you. While those who give scandal are guilty of the spiritual equivalent of murder, those who take scandal, who allow scandals to destroy their faith, are guilty of spiritual suicide." He said this because such people cut themselves off from their relationship with Christ by abandoning the source of life in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. He risked his life to prevent people from committing spiritual suicide. Similarly, but even earlier in church history, St. Francis of Assisi lived in a time of scandal. When one of his brothers, seeking guidance about how to react to those scandals, asked him, "What would you do if you knew that the priest celebrating Mass had three concubines on the side?" Francis immediately said, "When it came time for Holy Communion, I would go to receive the sacred body of my Lord from the priest's anointed hands." His response points to the truth that it does not matter how holy or unholy a priest is. The grace of the sacrament depends on God working through the priest, and does not depend on the priest himself. St. Francis would not let the wickedness of the priest prevent him from receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. We must not let our pursuit of holiness depend upon the holiness of the priests. We must remember that priests are chosen from men who are tempted like everybody else. Sometimes they fall. 11 of the 12 apostles abandoned Jesus when he was arrested. All of them later repented and came back. But the one who betrayed Jesus did not come back to him, but instead committed suicide. Thankfully, the sacraments work regardless of the state of the soul of the priest. Recall how Jesus worked miracles, even through Judas, during the time that Judas was a thief while he was stealing from the money bag, well before he became a traitor. So too does Jesus continue to work through his priests, regardless of the state of their souls. So how should we respond? Should we hold the abusers and the protector of abusers accountable? Absolutely. But that's not enough. Should we urge our bishops to create better policies and procedures to protect the vulnerable? Yes, but still not enough. Should we be more discerning about who can become a priest and how to form young men for the priesthood? Yes, but we still need more. Every crisis in the church is the result of a crisis of holiness. We all need to grow in holiness. It's saints who heal the wounds of scandal. We need holy clergy, but we also need everyone to be holy. St. Catherine of Siena made great contributions to the healing of the wounds of scandal in her time. Her holiness helped persuade the Pope to work to overcome corruption, including his own. This was through her correspondence with him, but also through her powerful intercession. The holier we are, the more powerful our prayers will be. If we want holy clergy, we need to pray for them and urge them to live a life of holiness. And the holier we are, the more powerful those prayers will be. We should also make acts of reparation to God for the offenses of others. Now, someone might say, why should I do penance for the sins that I didn't even commit? We must recall that we who are baptized are all part of the mystical body of Christ. And if the head was bleeding, would the hand refuse to act, saying, it's your fault you're bleeding, you need to heal it yourself? Rather, would not the hand quickly rush to the head to try to stop the bleeding? Similarly, would the foot or the feet refuse to walk since they are not responsible for the wound? Rather, wouldn't they take the whole body to wherever it is that the person may receive the healing they need? So too should we do what we can to heal the wounds caused by the clergy abuse scandal, and really help heal the wounds of all the sins of all of our brothers and sisters. Our Blessed Virgin Mother Mary, when she appeared at Fatima, urged the children to intercede for others and to make reparation for sinners. She urged them to do penance for sins they didn't commit. Let us heed her call by doing what she asked of them. Such behavior of reparation would be a great way to imitate our Lord, who, though sinless, was willing to suffer greatly out of his love for us and to bear the weight of the sins of all of us so that we could be saved. This First Friday Reparation Vigil is really a great way to grow in personal holiness. It's also good for interceding for others and to make reparation to God for all sins, sins of others and our own sins. Let us not waste this opportunity to bring about further healing in the church, but take advantage of this opportunity instead. If we want the members of the church to be holy, then we need to start with ourselves. This scandal can be the source of spiritual suicide, or it can become motivation to fulfill the call to holiness. How will you respond?